I'm Angelique Roche, and this is Marvel's Voices.
I am a huge fan of drag as a culture. While I may not be a person who watches Drag Race, which all of my friends are, I have been for a long time, particularly since being a cheerleader in the high heel races in Washington, D.C., many, many, many moons ago. Been a very big fan of the art form and the glory and the beauty of drag. And one of the really cool things about drag is there's a lot of cool subcultures within drag, and that includes drag cosplay. I am really excited because I had the opportunity to sit down with one of the most well-known drag queens who also is a huge nerd and does drag cosplay, Dax exclamation point, one of the most well-known drag queen cosplaying, just amazing performer, but also a really big nerd, which just, if you have not seen her cosplay as Storm or Marvel Girl or Black Cat, you have not lived. You have to go do this. It is an art form that I think is so wonderful and so beautiful, but there's so much work and there's so much time that goes into the detail, but also so much love that goes into portraying and really like embodying the Marvel characters that Dax loves so much. So I had an opportunity to sit down with Dax and not only talk about work as a performer, but also where her love for Marvel came from. This is Dax's story.
Wait until she starts recording. What?
Since I was a child.
Okay, so we're about to bond on something I didn't even know we're about to bond on. Let's have this conversation about the fact that I owned
up to the
original Cats CDs.
Cast recordings?
I had it.
Cast recordings? Who didn't?
Both here and in the
Girl,
UK.
I am Grisabella.
Oh my God, I'm so happy you're here. I love the fact that you were a theater nerd. I love the fact that you... Cats was just so good. I was an Andrew Lloyd Webber fanatic.
I wanted to be a Vita. Old Possum's Book of Practical Cats. I had the hard... I was like, Mother! I need the hardback version only! And she's like, but it's paper. I was like, not good enough! Like, not I was that kid. I was like, Mother, I need this. Like as a child.
Yeah.
And like, yeah. You know. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. When did you get into, because clearly this is the thing that I love. You are in drag and it is amazing, but you cosplay, which is, it is one and the same. Yeah. It is very, 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 very close. But there is like a connection, a love that cosplayers have for characters. And that's, especially if it's good. And I've seen your Rogue. I have seen your Storm. I've seen your good Black Cat, which is phenomenal.
Hi, Felicia.
Literally, hi, Felicia. There's so much work that goes into every stitch, every bringing it to life. What is it about these characters that like these are the ones you're going to do? Because I think people pick specific characters that they love to bring to life, because there's so many characters even in just the Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. I mean, that's always a question that people ask a lot. It's like how you choose your next cosplay. But it's like with cosplay, it's like everyone has their own wheelhouse. Everyone has their own like method behind it, like with any art form.
Yep.
Everyone has their own process. For me, it's got to be someone that I know, that I love, whose aesthetic matches my own, someone who I fully, fully respect. Because like I'm not one of those cosplayers who likes to like heavy modify a costume to like suit me. Like, I mean, like obviously, like, you know, when you're making an outfit for yourself, you're gonna take, you know, different kind of things into play. But I'm not gonna like do like, this is my version of Storm. No. That's still a valid
Storm.
Form of cosplay, but like it's like for me, if it's not canon, it's not right. That's how I feel about
it. And you do original. Like you do 1975.
Yeah. I do I haven't done the original Storm because she was a two piece and I wear a corset. I'm a lady. So
that,
I'm not going to wear a bikini.
You're right. That is, was a very... But and, you do and, the full bodysuit.
I do the Jim Lee 90s. I've done the Paul Smith Mohawk. I've done the Worlds Apart. I'm working on X-Men Red right now. I want to do Age of Apocalypse for Dragon Con. That's my plan for Dragon Con, is Age of Apocalypse Storm with the pixie cut and the Bowie stripe on her face. I want that because it looks like a really comfortable like last day of the con cosplay. Like flat boots and a tunic. Got it. Like, let's do it.
Love when cosplay is practical. I really, mm-hmm. really do.
But I mean, for me, it's like because conventions are misogynistic. Mm. They're all in concrete rooms.
You don't say that they would be uncomfortable for putting together.
I mean, to me, what always kills me is the fact that like people that like put conventions together, people that like throw cons or whatever. They really want those like hot girls in bikinis and high heels to show up and you know cosplay, quote unquote. That's what they want. But you put me in a concrete slab in 6-inch heels, and I'm like I'll give you 30 good minutes. And by that point, I'm over it. I'm over it. Like all my
because
cosplays
heels
have
heels are heels.
Heels are heels. It hurts. Like it hurts. So like all of my cosplays, I always plan on having like a backup pair of shoes so that I can just swap out. 2 hours in of like walking for forever or whatever, you wanted to die, so you know, take those off.
Very different than doing a drag performance where you were on stage,
and
then you're off stage,
and also like I have never done a show where my stage is made of concrete, like I've never in my life, but you know,
well, and what I love about this is because there actually is a huge collection of drag queens that do cosplay.
Oh yeah, I've always believed that like drag queens really invented cosplay. I mean, we didn't. I know the backstory, we didn't. But it's like whenever you see a drag queen do a number that's based in like a movie or a cartoon character or anything like that's cosplay.
Oh,
people forget all the time. It's like no. She's doing Ursula number right now, but she's legit cosplaying.
So, how did you get into comics?
Uncanny X-Men number 300 by John Romita Jr. with a holographic cover was my first ever comic book that I ever bought myself.
What was it about that comic book?
Storm's giant hair. Like, her hair was nonsense! Like the covers are all them, like, charging forward. It's like the anniversary issue, so it was all them charging forward, and Storm, like, flying on top, like, woo! With her, like, giant hair, with, like, random braids and beads, just whatever. Just casual. Just, like, I just feel like doing this today. Like... In my head,
the wind did it. It wasn't even her. She just got the wind
honestly,
to braid her hair.
She's Omega. She could do it. It's fine. But she wore like two capes with her big angel wing sleeves and her 90s thigh high boots that were like kind of ruched but kind of slouchy but not really but still really sexy somehow. It was all very like Taylor Dane, but better. Like you know, and I that's what got me into it. And just his work in general, like, I mean, like, that he did a whole, you know, from, like, 300 on, he was, like you know, the main artist doing every issue of Uncanny X-Men because they were doing a whole story arc, this whole thing. Because you have, like, I saw on the wall outside, not on this hallway, but I did a whole tour earlier, so I did see number 304, also drawn by him, with a holographic card on the cover, and I was like, ha-ha, got that one, too. You're welcome. And Bishop with his Larry Fishburne Cowboy Curtis hair, which was a mess.
Like, we just had a full conversation about Bishop's...
Cowboy Curtis hair?
Actually...
Tell me it's not Cowboy Curtis. You can't tell me.
I literally made a joke about it looking like Cowboy Curtis.
That's what it was Larry based on. You can't tell me it wasn't.
Well, the funny thing is, like, when you think about Storm and you think about Bishop, they are two of the most hair-changing...
But you know why? To be real. To be honest. Comic artists have always had issues drawing black hair. They have, because comic artists, especially like you know, like 20 years ago and beyond, there were not very many black artists drawing comics. Let's be honest, but they still wanted to, like especially like some, like a brand like Marvel, really always wanted to include black characters and stuff. But the artists couldn't pull it together. Like they just, it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's just not their life. So what they did was they just used you know like. Their you know way of seeing like white presenting hair or Eurocentric hair, and they put on a black character and was like, no one's gonna. That's fine. This is fine. So they gave Bishop the blowout. Like you know, like they gave Bishop.
He had a
this,
perm.
Like,
it's fine.
They gave Bishop this S curl nonsense because like the references they had, it's like how to draw a black man with a haircut that doesn't look that still looks like dynamic and cool, but doesn't look like it just like drew like a. Bald head and then like shaded in some stuff on side, you know, like so. It was a design choice to mask other issues, but it didn't. I mean, like looking back now, it's hilarious.
So, what did you study in college?
Sequential art.
I'm sorry. What does that even mean?
Comic books.
So you studied comic books?
Yeah. No, I literally have my degree in sequential art. Like, I, like, yeah, comic history. I've submitted portfolios here to Marvel before. They asked for more. I had an anxiety attack and couldn't do it, so I just stopped. yeah. So I'm kind of coming full circle by being in the building right now.
I love it. So why did you decide to study sequential art?
Storm mostly. I feel like just like during the rave scene in the 90s and even the 80s, it inspired a generation of wannabe DJs who only spun mixes in their bedroom and they were terrible and no one cared. Comics did the same thing, but for artists. So I was one of those kids who was like, you know what? I'm going to draw comics. It's going to work out. And now I'm in crippling debt. Cool. It's fine. But like, it's like comics definitely inspired a lot of things in my life. Like whether it was like, you know, me being an illustrator, me doing, you know, drawing and doing design and painting and sewing and whatever else I do. Without comics, I would never have started on that path ever, you know? When you're 18 and you decide, you know, I'm going to do this and be an adult and do this or whatever. It's like you're choosing your whole life path at 18 when, yeah, yeah, exactly. That you can't see, but she crossed her eyes. And I'm like, that's what it feels like. Because then you look back and you're like, how can I plan a life at 18? I can barely pick out my own shoes. Like, what am I doing, you know? Honestly, like, if I had stuck with all the paths that I had chosen myself at 18, I would be married, miserable, or dead. Or all three. So, no, I mean, like, you know, me drawing comics has not worked out as of yet. But, of course, obviously, like, you know, as a creative person, my interests have varying channels. And I'm the kind of person where it's like, I'll be into a thing for a while, but then when my creativity wants to go a different direction, I can't not do that, you know? Otherwise, I feel like I'm going crazy and I can't breathe and then force myself to like do something I'm not really feeling. And it comes out crappy because I'm not in it.
Yeah. No, so, and it makes perfect sense. I've had a number of people who sat in this, in this very room, Mateo Lane. Mm-hmm. He started off storyboarding.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know.
And I thought for a long time, I was like, that's what I'm going to do. I'll be a storyboard artist. And well, I love storyboarding. It's not. I'm just not into it.
Well, and the funny thing is, Mateo was like, I studied oil painting and I sang opera.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's so interesting.
And he has abs? Rude. Triggered. Triggered. So unfair. Rude.
But, okay.
Mad
to
at
be
her.
Fair. To be fair.
To be fair.
All Mateo does is crunches. Stand up and crunches.
Honestly, same.
Stand up and crunches. That's it.
I stand all the time. I've been standing almost all day.
You have been standing very tall heels. All day in those gorgeous heels. So, I mean, and I love, and I think you make a really
fun. We're having fun.
Thanks, baby. You make a very good point. Like, at 18 years old, we don't know
who or what.
Okay,
or how?
Some, to be truthful, some people do. I've had some people in this chair who have known since they were 9 years old. But that's the journey of being a creative. Mm-hmm. Are you reading the new Shuri comic that came out from Nnedi Okorafor?
You know, I am not yet.
So,
I'm sorry.
The thing that you don't
really,
be sorry.
I feel really bad
don't
about
be,
it. Cause
no,
my
don't
cat's
be sorry.
My cat's middle name is Shuri. Well, no, actually, her first name. Technically, her first name is Shuri, but she has so many names that I get confused sometimes. My cat's name, of course, being Princess Shuri Laurel Nemet Sekhmet Pajamas, or Princess Pajamas, as I call her.
Princess Pajamas.
Or Jam Jams, or Jammies, or
you
Jams.
You have an amazing life.
I have an amazing cat. You're welcome. She's delightful.
I love how you love cats. But I think the thing about Shuri that is the best is that the artist utilized the internet and hair tutorials to get her hair
but see,
right.
20 years ago, we didn't have all that.
You didn't.
You really didn't.
The internet literally has advanced
so many things.
The representation of women of color.
Of people of color in general. Women, men, whatever. Whether it be like, you know, anything. Any person of color now, like an artist needs a point of reference, they can just Google it and they have a point of reference.
Yeah.
Granted, that can cause artists problems sometimes when they just do like a basic, like just like generic sweep. But like if the artist actually cares and is really invested, they can easily pull up whatever they need to kind of go from there.
You should check out the covers. The covers.
No,
are...
I've seen the covers. I've not read the actual issues though. But I don't judge a comic by its cover ever. I learned that years ago.
Tell me more.
Just don't do it because you know cover artists are one thing, and you know you'll see like an amazing cover with like Storm on the cover doing you know some nonsense like you know beautifully illustrated and painted or whatever. Then you open it up and it's like. Like, you know, I read comics for the story. I need some art that I can relate to, that I can bite onto, that I can like really appreciate.
So besides X-Men, what else do you read?
I mean, I read a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. The last book I was really, really into was the iteration of the Hulk with when Jen Walters, you know, finally became like the official Hulk.
And you do an amazing Jen
Walters. It was her
and
Patsy Walker just hanging out the whole time, just being girls and fighting stuff sometimes.
Because you know, Hellcat sometimes just needs.
I love Hellcat.
Hellcat just needs to go hang out with her girls every once in a while.
Yeah, yeah. And like, there's one issue where Jen was on like this date with this guy who was like. He wasn't a Skrull. No, he was a Skrull. I think he was a Skrull in disguise. But they went out, you know, for breeders or whatever. And then she wasn't like texting Patsy back, and Patsy just shows up at the restaurant in her costume. And I'm like,
I mean, but that's Patsy.
That is.
Let's be real.
That's Patsy. like you can't tell me it's not. Like she would just be like, hey girl, you okay? Oh, a fight? Okay, like just hop in.
Wait, you need me to fight and do some parkour off the wall?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. And fine. I'm like, yes, please. More of that.
Just what are
like,
girlfriends
just
for?
Like Jen and Patsy hanging out, like Laverne and Shirley in the Marvel Universe. Like I'm cool with that. I want all of that all the time.
The last
different iteration of a character that I loved.
Yeah.
That was redone because I mean, like I tried getting into Domino. No offense, didn't love Domino.
But I think that's the thing about comics is comics, not everyone's going to love.
No, of
every
course not.
Single
and
comic.
No, and no one has to. And you don't have to. You don't have to.
And
either.
I think that's the beautiful thing about there being so many comics out there where folks can pick, like, for instance, and we were just talking about Cena Grace.
Yeah.
The concept that not only did he introduced two new mutants.
Yeah.
A non-binary mutant and drag queen mutant. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Who
You're welcome.
You have?
What
you have?
Me?
Fantastically what? Brought to life.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Well,
but it was so quick though. Like how much? Work?
Oh, it was not that quick. No. I was like the third or fourth queen to do a shade look, but I was.
But after
one of
it
the,
came out,
I was one of the official quoted references for the characters. So you're welcome.
You were actually.
I am.
The interwebs says it, so it's true.
He said it too. He told me. And he also, he typed it, and now it's on Instagram forever, so now it's a thing. It's fine. Yes, I was a third in that list. I don't see
but
the rest
you were
of the
list.
I'm on the list.
But you are on the list.
I'm on the list.
I don't know what you mean.
I'm on the list.
So
who on the list? Me.
So how long for you does it take, particularly with new characters? Because this is a brand new character.
We'll see, like with cosplay, there's always that weird fight between, like a lot of cosplayers will see a new character come out and they want to be like the first one to do it. Like it's going to like change something or whatever. It's like, no, honey, like it's still someone else's intellectual property. You just made an outfit that's cool. But like being the first doesn't mean that you're like the one. Like you didn't create the character. And if you did create the character, it wouldn't be cosplay. It would be drag. Like, you know, like so it's like cosplayers always have that weird like thing, like everyone like competing, and then like some cosplayers will have this whole like this thing where it's like, that's my character, you can't do it, it's my character. It's like, no. You didn't invent the
character.
It's our character,
it belongs to us.
It's yeah. Exactly.
That's the beautiful thing of the universe.
Exactly.
Is that,
of like cosplay or comics and fandom in general, is it like it's for everyone to enjoy. That's the whole thing of it. Like, that's literally the point. So, I was not the first shade. I was the most canonically accurate shade. You're welcome. but I was not the first. No. I mean, that one took me a while, longer than I wanted to, only because those damn Liefeld pouches. Those pouches. I made 27
Can we have
individual
a conversation?
Glittered, you really, functional pouches.
But you went
by
back,
the way.
And I want to be very clear to anyone who's listening that you mentioned a specific
Robert Geraldine Liefeld. I don't know his middle name, but I suppose Geraldine. I suppose something like you would like make fun of him for if you were a kid. And that's like, I'll show you all.
but those pouches are very much
that's
a direct reference. Direct reference back to a specific artist who defined
how superheroes looked for a long time. No, he couldn't draw feet, but he changed the way everything worked.
Feet are very hard.
They're really not
draw.
At all.
So are hands.
They're really not at all. I mean, like I learned in college.
Tell me you how you
draw
feel
hands?
About it.
You want to draw hands? Oh, look, you got a reference. Just look down.
So, gotta ask. You did sequential art. You went to college. Mm-hmm. You obviously made comic books on your own.
Oh, yeah.
You've got a portfolio.
Yeah.
When did you decide that your energy was going to be targeted towards drag? Because this art form, it takes your heart and soul.
And your health, well-being, time, money, all of it. It's like, I always say that drag is an addiction, not a hobby or a career. It's literally an addiction because when you're not doing it, you're thinking about doing it. Ask any drag queen. When they're not on stage or they're not in drag, their mind is on their next number, their next outfit, how to pay for that, and then how to execute it. Like, you're always thinking about it. But for me, when I got to college, I had been a theater nerd, obviously, in high school. My friends and I were super into Rocky Horror Picture Show when I was in high school because, I mean, what nerd isn't?
I mean, because Tim Curry looks great in a pair of heels.
And I wanted those shoes my entire life.
Oh, my God.
And
those
look at
red
me now.
Literally.
Yeah.
Red glitter heels.
Oh, from the floor show. Oh, so you're thinking of, like, the end of the movie.
Yeah,
I'm thinking of his opening
scene. Oh, you're talking
scene
when he comes down the elevator?
Yeah, with that big, chunky heel stamping on the floor. Yeah, that's the one I like. But basically, I first saw Rocky Horror in the, like, I went to, like, an actual, like, you know, theater show, Rocky Horror, when I was 16 with my friends in high school. My mom drove us. It was super embarrassing. And I was like, Mom, sit in the back row. No one can see you.
Wait,
no,
Mom,
you're here.
Stayed?
She stayed. Oh. She fell asleep, but she stayed.
Like, it sounds like my mom. Because, you know, my mom would have fallen
people
asleep.
People always forget how long Rocky Horror actually
is.
It's so long.
But that's the beauty of audience participation.
Part, there's a whole middle part where it's just like, nap time. So then when we all went to college together, we of course helped form the Rocky Horror Picture Show cast in Savannah, Georgia, called Pure Antimatter. You're welcome. I played Frank for literally 3 years of my life. Every week, Frankenfurter, that was my Friday. That was it. That's what we're doing. Friday night, I know, you know where I'll be for way too long. so that kind of began me getting into drag, and that like I was literally already doing it. I was lip syncing the entire movie the entire way through.
Yeah.
Like once a week for 3 years of my life. And then rehearsing it in the middle of the week. You know, like, so like it was like I was always doing it. And then I got hired at Club One in Savannah, dancing on boxes. And of course, you know, I wasn't just like, you know, regular, like, you know, go-go boy or whatever. I would like make outfits. I'm like, I want outfits because that's fun. And I'm wearing heels because that's what I do. And then that kind of ended up like leading me into like doing drag. Like I ended up going to their amateur contest on like a Sunday night when I was like, you know, not on the clock, quote unquote, with some friends of mine. And no one has entered the contest that night. And the guest performer got in a car accident on the way to the venue, broke her ankle, and was like, sorry, girl, not coming. And so she was like, Dex, I'm glad you're here. Can you do a number right now? And I was like, what? She's like, can you do a drag number? And I was like, I mean, I'm not in drag. She was like, we can fix that. Can you do it? I was like, sure. I mean, like, ah, it's like, whatever. So she took me up to the dressing room, and like, I borrowed random drag queen clothes I just found in the dressing room and did like Britney Spears, My Prerogative, because it was new then. It was dating myself.
It's fine. some of us remember when it actually came out.
Oh yeah, the Bobby Brown version. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that either. It's fine. And then I made money, and I was like, oh, is that what drag is? Like, I can do this, I guess. And it just kind of happened. Like, it wasn't I wasn't like you know. Now we live in an age with, you know, with the internet and YouTube and people and with like Drag Race and other things like that. People are getting into drag for all of the wrong reasons. I think they're getting into it to be like famous and a celebrity, and to like, you know, be in a Marco fashion show, and to like, you know, be in on Vogue or whatever. And but like, these people have been doing it for a long time, or they're really talented, or they played the game well on the television show you watch. It's like, you can't, and especially like people like who like, you know, don't want to like start out and like cut their teeth and like perform, or are too afraid to like look busted on their first time out in drag. It's like, no. Funny thing, your first time in drag, you're gonna look busted. That's it. Like, you can want to be like the fishiest, most fierce put together girl on the street, but no. Your first time in drag, you're gonna look busted. It's fine. Everyone does. Everyone looks like a big old hot mess. They look back. I went through a phase in my life where I literally wore bronzer as foundation, and this is before matte bronzer was a thing, because it matched my complexion in the summer when I turned terracotta tan. And no one
said anything to you?
Told me anything.
Who were your friends?
Terrible.
Who were your
terrible
friends?
People? Like, legitimately, like 6 to 9 months.
But you know what?
It was a minute, girl.
But you know what? It's a metaphor for life, though. It's like it's one of those
moments. I didn't know.
Anything you do for the first time, you're not going to be perfect.
You're not. You're not. But like I didn't know I was wearing, my bronzer was not working out for me until someone developed a fun camera, one of those like wind-up cameras or whatever, and showed me a developed photograph. And I was like,
that person was your friend.
I am reflecting all the light in the room right now.
That person was your friend.
She was. I was like, thank you, girl.
Thank you for pulling me aside, because my friends need to be checked.
Yes, yes.
But it's very true. It's any creative that thinks they're going to bust out of the gate and be absolutely like amazing
and like change the world. It's like, no. That takes decades of like getting doors slammed in your face and rejection and pain and questioning, why am I even doing this to myself?
And things failing.
And failing. Miserably would be best. Like, yeah. You got to learn on your own.
Is my favorite movie when I was a kid was Two Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar. And all I can hear
Jesse's daughter.
My head. Yes. You're just a Latino girl in drag. What? But you know what? But for a lot of folks, that was the first time they really a full comprehension.
That movie, like looking back, a lot of things from like that era in general, problematic in general.
I was about to say, because, it's a very problematic moment.
It's like, especially someone who does drag, it's like, first of all, if I'm going on a road trip, I'm not going to sit in this all day long on a road trip. Let's be real.
Because it's hot.
Which is again why like I always say like a drag queen superhero doesn't actually work. I mean like yes, it's fun in theory, but a drag queen superhero could never work because by the time you're ready, the fight's over, girl. You missed it. Tell me I'm wrong. Cause this nonsense took me 2.5 hours.
But let's have a conversation about every single woman superhero that's got eyeliner on.
Okay.
Did you put the eyeliner on before you got
first of all, that's why I
love
Storm, because in my mind, Storm doesn't actually wear any makeup at all. She wears a black liner and a red lip, and she's good because her skin is what? Impeccable. Like,
her skin is impeccable.
Like, Storm.
Because she's always hydrated Storm, like, because legit, she controls. Like,
and I feel that her eyeliner is tattooed on. I'm pretty sure it is. So
these
she's like, a berry lip, and I'm good. Let's go.
These are some theories.
Typhoon! Like, you know.
What is the next cosplay we're going to see?
I don't even know, because I'm doing Awesome Con next weekend. In DC, but I don't know what I'm gonna wear yet because I never know till like the last minute. So
you don't know what the weather's gonna be.
That's irrelevant. I'm always gonna be hot, so it's fine. But I'm really thinking I think I'm gonna bring She-Hulk out for Awesome Con, Felicia Hardy, and probably Rogue. I have a Sue Storm that I'm working on. I love Susan Storm so much. I love her so much. I really want to do Silver Sable one day. Because I love Silver Sable. So I already do Black Cat. I'm like, why not Silver Sable too? That makes sense.
I mean, are we talking about like new Silver Sable?
Oh, no.
Have you played
Old
the game?
School. Oh, Old I, school. Yeah, the game. Yeah. Because like I do Felicia from The Heist.
Yes.
So I do the original. Like I do like the classic like fur collar one.
Yeah.
But that is unwearable in any month that's not below zero. It is plastic and fur and it sucks to wear. But it's real cute when it's on, so I'm always torn. Like,
well, I'm hoping you do the Silver Sable very soon.
I love Silver Sable so much. But the problem is that like whenever I wear white hair and silver or gray or black or gunmetal or any like of the colors I love the most, people will always call me Storm. Which I'm cool with.
I mean, there are worse characters to be.
There are worse
up.
Things to be called. I've been called all of them. So it's fine. But that's the problem with cosplaying a character that is not in your like ethnic groupings. People will always misinterpret your cosplay. Just expect it. It's fine. It's not a big deal. There's no harm in it. It's fine. As long as they're not being a dick about it, you're cool. You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah, I mean, cosplay is a interesting world. What was your first character that you cosplayed?
Storm, definitely. It was. I was Dragon Con, of course, because that's what I do. And I made like a closet Storm cosplay. Like I wasn't gonna go, and I couldn't afford it that year, and I was like, I'm just not gonna do it. But I was living in Atlanta, and the friend of mine was like, come on, girl, I got you a pass. I was like, I will see you tonight. So I of course took like an old like black bustier, and I made an X-Men like logo out of like, I can't remember what it was. It was something random I had lying around that I just like spray painted. And like some panties. I literally took an old vampire cape from Halloween because I love Halloween. So I always keep a stock of like cheesy Halloween costume stuff around because I think it's funny. Then I tore it and made it into like a storm cape and like just tied it around my wrist and put some bangles on. And like I already had white hair because I always have white hair. And I made my tiara out of like cardboard, masking tape, and like armature wire. And then I painted it and glittered it. And I was like, good to go. And that was my first storm cosplay that I ever did. It was terrible, but I was living my best life.
Like, because that's the point. The point is to enjoy being able to bring those characters to life.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And I, you know, drank a bottle of whiskey with a Lobo cosplayer out of the stairs, and I was cool. I was like, this is a good day. Let's get drunk as Storm. Cool. We're good here. Like, and that's the magic of a convention. Making new friends. Making memories.
Making memories. And so now I always love how much, because I judge a lot of cosplay contests. Mm. And so I love, and by a lot, I mean two a year. Yeah. But I love the fact that there is always a process and there's always someone who's at that phase. There's someone who's like, I did this in 3 days. And then there's someone who's like, I worked 12 months to put together 3D remodeling.
Yeah.
And it's incredible because at that point in time, everyone's equal.
Yeah.
Because everyone's
and
just there to enjoy themselves.
Exactly. And with a cosplay contest, like, it doesn't matter like, you know, how long you worked on a thing. It, what matters is like, if you love it and it shows through in your work and the details you put into it and the effort you put into it and all that. Because I mean, like, I judged a cosplay contest like at CinchiCon in Alaska, actually, of all places, which was delightful. Highly recommend. Loved it. Had a great time last year. But like in the cosplay contest, there was this girl who stood out to me because she was 13 years old and she was dressed as Sapphire from Steven Universe. And she handmade her ball gown herself. And it was on point. And I was like, imagine you in 5 years. Just five. She's going to be a monster. Like, it's going to be incredible to watch that progress. Because, I mean, like, she handmade this ball gown by herself. And it was completely and totally on point. Like no flaws. Like, there were none. I mean, it was simple. Like, it was, like, a very simple kind of, like pattern. But it's, like, if I started sewing at that age,
13.
If I started sewing at 13 and been that good at 13, I'd be a whole different character. Like, I'd be a whole different like monster right now. It'd be crazy.
But
that's what I love about like cosplay contests. It's like you do get people that are like just starting out, or people that have been doing it for decades. Yeah. And I was trying, when I'm judging those kind of things, to encourage them to keep going, whoever they are, no matter what level they're at, just keep going, because you never know where you're going to go with your skill or your ability. I mean, it's something that's easy to say, because I know for myself, when I'm sewing, I'm usually cursing and crying and screaming to my sewing machine because she hates me. But saying to somebody else, it's like I do mean it. Like, it's real. It's like, whatever your art form is, just keep going with it, because it could easily be a complete delight in like as little as 5 years, you know?
Well, and I think that's what I love about it, and kind of like just seeing the characters that you choose is that you have to love them.
You do,
like,
because
you have to love them because of details.
Yeah, because cosplay is expensive. Let's be real, it's expensive and time consuming. So is drag. Expensive and time consuming. And like, I feel like if I don't love the character, why am I doing this? Like, I'm not gonna do it for somebody else. I mean, like, I'm very selfish. I don't do anything for anybody else. Let's be real. Like, whatever, when I'm in all this nonsense, it's not for you. I mean, you can enjoy it from a distance, but it's really for me. It really is. And that's how I feel like drag and cosplay should be. It's like both those things. I feel like if you're not doing it for yourself, if you're just doing it for like Instagram likes or whatever, girl, find something else to do. Like, it's fine. But if you do it, I feel like you need to like love it, because it's an investment, and it's exhausting, but it's worth it.
So, quick fire questions.
Mm-hmm. Ooh,
here we go.
Oh no! Oh god! Okay, ready.
If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Okay, that's always a weird question, because if I could have and had my choice, obviously either weather manipulation, telekinesis, or an unnatural mastery over cats.
We'll get back to that.
I mean, like Squirrel Girl, but with cats.
I'm here for this.
Yeah.
What is your superpower?
Knowing myself, I feel like it'd be something like complete, like with my luck, it would end up being like weather manipulation, but it's directly tied to my emotional state. So it's not actually controllable. It's just like it's connected with all of my anxiety and depression and weirdness and like.
And then you walk out and just changes everything.
And then it's like someone's like, oh, it's so rainy. Can you make it not rain? And it's like, I'm miserable, so no. Like,
you know? Sorry, it's like, not in my power.
It would be like, that's what I would end up getting if I got something like weather aligned. It would probably be that. Or like an unnatural mastery of most appliances. Like, you know, like it would be like something like.
Toast.
Like nonsense. Yeah. Yeah, it'd be like nonsense. Like, it's like, I could text without texting. Like, it's like that, you know?
What's on your playlist right now?
Oh, my playlist. Today, getting ready, I've listened to Jane County, the Electric Chairs. Jane County was one of the, first of all, she's like the last living Andy Warhol superstar, first of all. She's also lives in Atlanta. She's a friend of mine. You're welcome. But she's also a transgender punk star from the 70s. And she does amazing work, and I love her to death. Speaking of cats, she runs Jane County's Cat House, which is a cat rescue that's literally in her house. She just takes in cats because she does that. She takes in cats and she paints.
That's what she does.
And she's my favorite person ever.
Oh, that's she's amazing. Great.
She's adorable.
All right, yeah. Last question. Mm-hmm. What does storytelling mean to you?
Ooh, storytelling, what it means to me, that's weird. I mean, not weird, but it's, storytelling is necessary. Like, I get really involved with characters. It's like, that's why I love the X-Men so much, is because it's not so much about, like, them, like, fighting robots and, like, the brood and, like, nah, nah, whatever. No. It's about their interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. All the things that I watch and that I love or that I read, if I'm not, like, fully emotionally involved with these characters, I'm not going to stick around, like, you know, so like, I need things like Star Trek Voyager or like Farscape or X-Men, obviously, or like Young Avengers or like, you know, Gen 13 or like I have to like these have to become my friends is the thing. Like, that's what I need from a story, from, you know, whether it's from the writing alone or just from the art. It has to be a combination of both the writing and the art. It's got to be all together, but I have to like be in love with these people and care about them. Otherwise, meh. Like me and Domino, like I care about her, but do I? I don't really know if I do.
This has been amazing. That's it. Yeah. That's our wrap.
Oh wow, that's it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me.
That was whole,
thanks
like,
for this
that was
lanyard,
whole, like,
which by the way is elastic and it's printed.
Thank you so much, Dax, for stopping by. I know you have an incredibly busy schedule, but I really, really, really appreciate all the time you've spent with us. Also, make sure you're checking out the Marvel Make Me a Hero, where Dax gets literally made into a superhero. And oh, make sure you're checking me and all the rest of the phenomenal co-hosts over here at Marvel out on our other shows. I also do a really cool show called Marvel Live, which is on Twitter. It's Marvel Live presented by Audi, as well as make sure you are tuning in for some awesome news. We can't tell you much now, but San Diego Comic-Con is coming up, and we are so excited about all the cool stuff we have in store for the live stream. In the meantime, you know, listen to all your favorite episodes and watch all the cool stuff over at Marvel.com.